Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
The views and opinions expressed on GoPro Radio Network shows are solely those of the speakers and are not necessarily the views or opinions of GoPro Radio Network, Inc. or its affiliates. These broadcasts are provided on the understanding that they do not constitute professional advice or services. Individuals who speak on these broadcasts express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. GoPro Radio Network and its affiliates do not necessarily endorse or oppose any particular opinion or conclusion discussed in these broadcasts. You may not edit or modify or redistribute these broadcasts in any way without the express permission from GoPro Radio, LLC. GoPro Radio assumes no liability for any of your activities in connection with our broadcast or for your use of these broadcasts in connection with your website, computer, smartphone, tablet, iPad, or future listening devices. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Earl Morgan Hour. Brace yourself.
Hello, out there, GoPro audience. This is Earl Morgan, your host for the Earl Morgan Hour. It's Wednesday, 7 p.m., and as usual, I'm here with my co-host and good right on, Tina Bland. Are you there, Tina? Okay, we're still working on our remote here, and we're going to be renaming our show from Earl Morgan Hour to something that will include my guest, my co-host, Tina Bland. But I'm just going to see if our guests are all here on the line. Is Dr. Francis Thompson there?
Yes, I am, Earl.
Ah, okay, Fran, and the Reverend, the Right Reverend, Bill Webb, are you there?
I'm here, Earl.
Okay. And Elnora Watson, president of the Urban League of Hudson County, who is no stranger to the GoPro. Microphones, are you there? Hello? We don't seem to have Elnora yet, and I don't seem to hear Tina yet. But
yes,
the,
Earl, I'm here.
Who is that?
Earl,
I'm
here.
Who's...
Can you hear me?
Yes, again.
Yes,
I
Earl, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good evening, listeners. You're in for a wonderful show.
Okay. Yes, we are. I still don't have Elnora Watson. I'm not hearing her. But to continue while we hash out these technical difficulties, the guests that we have here, Dr. Francis Thompson and the Reverend Bill Webb, and I believe eventually Elnora Watson, president of the Urban League of Hudson County, will be on the line. And they're going to be talking about the upcoming Bike Forum that will take place in Jersey City at Metropolitan AME Church at 140 Belmont Avenue, at the corner of Belmont Avenue and Bergen Avenue. And the Honorable Assemblywoman Sheila Oliver, the first female African-American speaker of the New Jersey Assembly, will be the keynote speaker. There will be forums on employment and economic development and an examination of the Jersey City Disparity Study that pinpoints in great detail and documents in great detail the women minorities have been excluded from receiving any or almost all of the $1 billion or so in the Jersey City municipal government spends every year on contracts and purchasing. Tonight's show is being brought to you on phone, but in 2 weeks we expect to be presenting our program from the Brightside Tavern in Jersey City. The Brightside has become a favorite destination for good food, good music, and if you have yet to drop in, I can assure you that you will experience congenial company and the great entertainment. It will be worth your while. If you haven't been there, this meeting the tavern's owner, Tommy, calls himself Tommy Two Scoops, incidentally, will be a great treat. So without further ado, let me ask Tina Tin to go on to begin the dialogue with tonight's guest. Tina, I turn it over to you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, I'd like to introduce everyone to the Black Interest Team Enterprise. The body was formed for the sole purpose, our disparity report, which, as we well know, those who are following, that in the end of last year, it was known to the public that there was a commission, and the commission was for a Croson study. That was the name of the study, as Earl Morgan and I have been talking to you about every month. Well, there was a meeting, and that the result of the meeting was for us to push for this study, for the report to become a study, and it was. It was ratified by the Jersey City City Council. Once that was done, we waited for other organizations to take up the mantle and say, we want to see the results that the Croson report requested, the disparity study. It will cost Jersey City nothing to implement these things, but the African-American community has significantly suffered because it did not come about. Well, subsequently, our mayor from Jersey City, the Honorable Steve Phillip, decided that we would have a panel, and this panel of residents of Jersey City would sit on. So our first order was to make sure we were represented by someone we chose. So we asked the Honorable...
The number that you have to call in on is 1-7...
We asked the judge what he said on this study representing the African-American community, and this was the Honorable Judge Joe Charles. Subsequently, it was the first act for BITE, which is the acronym of Black Interest Team Enterprise. Vice President is myself, Tanya Bland. The first Vice President is the President of Urban League, Elnora Watson. The second Vice President is Dr. Francis Thompson, which you will hear from tonight also. Our third Vice President is the Reverend Nathaniel Leahy of Metropolitan AME Zion Church. And our Correspondence Secretary is Minister Phil Webb. Our second secretary is Deborah Austin. These members are here tonight. At this point, I'd really love if Dr. Thompson would state our purpose and our mission. Will you please, Dr. Thompson?
The mission in general and overall, after we started with the Croson study, was to create a coalition of members of the community to address and be proactive on issues that impacted the Black community. And by doing that, we were attempting to coalesce with the businessmen. The foundation of our community is the church, and with also the working class folks and the underserved. Once we get all of these people thinking of like minds about the issues that need to be addressed, we will then be able to start attempting to correct our own ills and not depending on others to fix the problems that exist in our community. And so with that said, one of the leading problems that exists was the inability for us to participate on contracts as it related to government contracts in the city of Jersey City. And that disparity study alluded to the fact that, in fact, minorities were not getting their fair share of contracts, and they gave us solutions on how we go about correcting some of these problems. Now, the way the city is dealing with the issue is creating a commission and also creating a panel of people to show us how to directly approach the situation. From our think tank, as Tanya has mentioned, we have the Honorable Joe Charles and a former assemblyman, too, who understands government procurement because he has been an assemblyman, and also the legalities of it from being a judge. So no better choice was made from our academia world other than Joe Charles. And so that's where we are right now, trying now to create a coalition of folks that have the same interest and the same mindset on correcting some of the ills that exist in our community.
And this is of paramount importance because we realize that through collaboration, we as a community will rise. Now, Minister Phil Webb has done a phenomenal job at contacting those that will come to the meeting that is this Saturday, March 21st, at Metropolitan AME Zion Church, which is located at 140 Belmont Avenue in Jersey City. All are welcome and encouraged to attend. If you need transportation, buses will be departing from the Urban League starting at 1 p.m. Minister Webb, will you please chime in and let them know how vigilant you've been with the calls and the letters you've been writing, getting people to the meeting?
Sure, Tanya. To have an event like we've been planning through BITE, to have a town hall meeting and job fair, participation from a cross-section of agencies that are public, private, and corporate is paramount. Without that type of participation, we will not be able to get information to the community that is necessary to change our reality. So we've been reaching out to political personages from the county. We've reached out to the county executive director, Tom DeGise. We've reached out to freeholders, Bill O'Day and Gerald Baumier. The two freeholders have committed to attend and participate in our meeting. We reached out to every city council person on the Jersey City Council, asked them to participate in the meeting. We have representation coming in from the Board of Education, both those who have been appointed and employed and those who have been elected in the form of Lorenzo Richardson and Mr. Bolden. And we have clergy involved. We're opening the door to the community so that they can come in and express their concerns and what strategies are being made prominent so that we can, again, deal with the issues of lack of economic empowerment in our community. And I would also like to speak to that from a perspective of a person who was a police officer for 29 years, in that we know that poverty and crime go hand in hand. So without development of economic empowerment and institutions to change that impoverished state, that is very much part and parcel of the black experience here in Jersey City. The underserved will not have the opportunity to change
Phil,
the situation.
Let me interrupt here for a second because I think I got some information here that I think I should impart to the audience that is will tell you why this is important. And Exhibit A1 of the Croson study, which is a summary of minority MWBE prime utilization and disparities for the fiscal year 2002 through 2008. It covers the year period from 2002 to 2008. And here's an example. They give various categories. Let's take the construction prime contractors category. Minorities, African Americans, were able to get $570,880 of these contracts. Hispanics got $3,282,245. Asian Americans got zero. They also list Native Americans, but of course they sort of disappeared around here about 200 years ago. Non-minorities were able to get $1,863,604 of the total $5,716,809 that the city spent. Now, these are hard figures sometimes to adjust to digest, but the percentages, the utilization percent of African Americans for these constructions, for this construction money was not 1.88%, 0.88%. Hispanic Americans, 4.88%. Asian Americans, 0. Native Americans, 0. Non-minorities, 2.77%. So they got the total of 849% or 8.49% of all the money. We're not getting anything here. And that's just for 1 year. That's just for 1 year. Now
I know sometimes we listen to numbers, and as an accountant, numbers begin to go together. So we don't comprehend them because the numbers just are so great. But to put this in perspective, for people who are not math majors, if you go on to the Urban League website, the Crozen Report is there so you can read it. Now, the essence of it is when they got tired of writing zero, they just left out entire audiences, like the African-American community.
Well, a good example of that, Tina, is in the area of architecture and engineering and prime consultants. In the African-American community, in these years we're talking about, we have the utilization dollars for African-Americans are zero. The Hispanic-Americans are zero. The Asian-Americans at least got $264,282. Well, the Native Americans got nothing, but the non-minorities got $446,793 of the money, the total of $701,076. They got the majority of the money. All these categories, it's all the same. And at the bottom of the category, it says disparity, yes. African American disparity, Hispanic Americans, yes. Disparity for Asian Americans, yes. Not available for Native Americans. And for non-minorities, no. There's no disparity because they got most of the money, or almost all of it. And these figures just repeat over and over and over again. And the important part of this, and I want either Dr. Thompson or Tina, who incidentally has a degree in accounting, I want to tell you folks this. So I sometimes go to her and make them as make sense to me. But the bottom line here is that we are lacking, what we seem to lack in our community more is not just jobs. Jobs are important. But what we seem to lack is wealth. And
exactly.
Part of the reason we don't have any wealth is because these dollars we're talking about that we're not getting a percentage of are taxpayers, property taxpayers in Jersey City dollars. So property taxpayers who are black, Hispanic, Asian, who are spending money, and business owners who are here are not getting any pushback or getting any money, anything from the money that their dollars they're giving to the city. The dollars should move around so that all the merchants and vendors and business people who are bidding on contracts or who are looking for work from the city can get it. When you see figures that say zero, zero, zero.
Can I say
well,
something?
How can that happen? Yes, please.
Can I say something at this point?
Of course, that's
the I work for the county, and I think everyone knows that. And one of the tasks that I have and responsibility is to monitor the procurement that is going on in the county of Hudson. I'm not saying we're doing an excellent job because that would be further from the truth. And there are reasons why minorities are not getting the lion's share of what's going on, and I did my dissertation for my PhD with that. But by and large, the county monitors the minority participation as it pertains to goods and services and to construction. It is submitted to the freeholders at caucus, and therefore they are on top of the utilization of minorities as it relates to procurement. I don't know if that's being done in Jersey City because I don't hear of anyone making mention of the level of procurement that's going on outside of major contracts that are being awarded to major builders in Jersey City. until there's someone that is overseeing the actual procurement process, you're going to have these problems continuing on. It is important that people clearly understand that procurement on government levels must be monitored at all times, so that if there is a shortfall, it can be remedied. It can't be remedied if the public has no idea of what's going on. And with that said, the purpose of BITE is to make sure that we as a group and a body are monitoring all those shortcomings that have a negative impact on our community. And that's why I'm encouraging people to come Saturday. We're not the normal group of people that you see coming together to give you some fluff about what's going on. The people know what's not going on in our community. But we're here to create ways to remedy the problem. We're here to take a position collectively as a people, submit it in black and white, so it's not just hearsay and dialogue back and forth with the mayor, back and forth with the council. It's going to be in written form. And we're going to also give him solutions and resolutions and remedies on how things can be corrected, because we are an intelligent body of people, and we're going to display that. There are many people of our community that you never hear their voices, but they're the intelligente of our community. We have working class people that can actually give you insight of things that are going wrong. But if there's no group to hear these issues, to write these issues down, to put these in perspective, to make a position for it and present it to the proper audience, we're never going to be heard. We're here to let you know you will be heard. We are a body that's going to make sure, as a people, you will be heard with corrections, remedies, and solutions. And when they're not being addressed, we're going to move you, us, all of us, as a mass body to let them know we presented, we gave you a remedy, and we haven't been heard.
Well, here's another interesting point about this disparity study that was written and documented by an agency consulting company called NGT. And they not only were able to document that the disparities are wide and far-reaching, they also did something very interesting. The end of at the tail end of the study, the bottom portion of the study, the tail end of it, were remedies. They have dozens. And the interesting thing, Francis, about the remedies that I found when I read the document was that they found places where they were able to figure out how to insert minorities into, say, purchasing or getting insurance or bidding on contracts in places
that you would never think of.
You know, they're doing it the places they point to. They'll say, well, here's what they did in Omaha, Nebraska. Here's what they did in North Carolina. Here's what they did in Georgia. And, I'm looking at this and saying, well, wait a minute now. If they can think of all of this stuff to do in all of these distant places as far as Iowa, or as strange as it would seem to us here in the northern tier of states in New Jersey, the so-called liberal Northeast, that North Carolina and Georgia could fix the problems, it seems to me like something is really wrong. And they have not one remedy. They have dozens of them. They won't cost any money to actually implement these things. We don't have to go get a grant. All they have to do is change some things in the way the city does business.
They have Earl, create a unit, a division, a bureau, where they can collectively put a body of people together to take the study and try to begin implementing some of the remedies. No one has attempted to implement any of the remedies. Now, when it comes to government, having been a former council person working in county government now, There is a generic part of government that if you take its structure, you can put it in Texas and you can put it in California, you can put it in Jersey. There's still a generic mm-hmm. makeup of the way government is formulated. You understand what I'm saying? And if they
yes.
do what that remedy says and put a unit together to address, to monitor, and look at some of the issues that they have, we'd be ahead of the game. But there's a lot of procrastinating with all these committees before implementation. All these committees are not necessary when you already have a remedy created in the study you invested the money in.
And I'd like to take it a step further
yeah.
and point out this is a real problem, because if you don't have the opportunity to have the career, you can't pay for a college loan. Some people can't afford to go to college. Some people can't afford to buy a home. This is a real problem. We are talking about the building of wealth. A fair share of that pie. A fair share of that piece of that pie.
Hello?
Yes.
I'm sorry if business matter delayed me. This is Elnora.
Oh, Elnora, hi. Welcome to the show, Elnora. People out there in GoPro Radio Land, this is Elnora Watson. Speaking of growth and studies, wealth and employment, Elnora Watson's agency, the Urban League of Hudson County, probably is one of the largest, if not the largest, employers of minorities in the county. Is that correct, Elnora?
Well, we're close. We're
yeah,
very close. Do we employ people? We have helped at least 25 minority entrepreneurs start their own business in Hudson County using child care as a vehicle.
Well, you know, this is interesting in that Elnora and all of us are in the belly of the beast. With point of full disclosure here, everybody on this phone now, I've known, except for Phil, I haven't known him as long as I knew his brother, but I've known all of them most of my life, and I know what they've done. And I'd like to say something about what Councilwoman, former Councilwoman, now Hudson County Minority Women and Business Enterprise Director Fran Thompson said about these. Now, we have a committee. There may be a good reason for this. We haven't heard. We don't know why. But the committee for the Croson study that was put together to look at this document and find ways to cut down on these disparities and end them has been meeting for 3 months. And so far, maybe I'm the only one that has heard, but I have heard nothing from this committee at all.
Well,
I am
confident shortly we will have information from one in particular who is involved.
Well, that would be good, but
yes,
because the problem I have with this, and I'm writing a column, and my first line of my column is that all over water, we should be flying the American flag upside down. Now, the American flag upside down is the international distress signal. That means there's an emergency. That means that something is very wrong. And I don't think that you can find any place in the city where there is more of the problems accumulated than in that area. Francis, I would say this to you. If there were certain council people we had in the past, and you know who they are, because you probably go back as far as I did in Fred Martin. This disparity study, if it had been, maybe you or Glenn or Melissa, I could see you guys having these things printed out and passing them out on speak ones.
so that people who don't know will learn. So far, the Urban League has taken it upon itself, thanks to Elnora, to put it online so that people that wish to see it can get it. I think they should. What's your website, Elnora? Please give it to the audience quickly.
ULOHC.org.
Okay.
Earl, I'd like
so they don't know where to go and get it.
I'm sorry, Elnora. Say it again.
Dr. Thompson is trying to speak. Go ahead.
No, I want you to say your the contact again, and then I'll say what I have to say. Where they can
you, as in Urban, LOHC.org.
Okay, that's easy enough. ULOHC.org.
Now, Earl, this is what I want to say, and it may be hard hitting, but I'll take the punches. And this is coming from Dr. Thompson. When you have a whole administration of people that know absolutely nothing about politics, absolutely nothing about government, they don't know how to get started, okay? You had a mayor that was a councilman that fought against everything with the previous administration, so he never really got a true opportunity to learn how government works. The first thing should have been done was to take the study, pull all the remedies together, put a unit or a bureau together in your purchasing department or your law department, and take this committee you have and make it be advisory to the body you have working to follow the remedy. They got the horse after they got the cart. They don't have it in order. They should have put a unit together to start actually trying to implement some of the remedies and take this committee they have together and make it an advisory board to the unit they put together. But you have to understand government in order to have enough sense to do that.
Well, you know, one of the things I think Tanya and I did well.
This is all training with their council.
Well, you know, I agree with you. This is more or less a group council. They don't have a lot of experience.
I'm not talking about right now. I'm talking about work that was previously done by Bill Breaker, the president of the NACT, and a prominent business person. And we met with the mayor, we met with the business administrator, and we offered, and not just offered, presented a way to go. And then an opportunity came. It was Hurricane Sandy, and there was work to be done in Jersey City. I know there was a recruitment effort, and people were sent someplace else, and maybe it wasn't structured right in order for everyone to benefit. But certainly there was work in Jersey City. There are qualified contractors in Jersey City, and nothing happened.
Well, yeah.
So it's not experience, because he had experienced business administrator and others who ran departments that needed work done. Now, it would have been a small step, but it would have been a step. And it didn't.
Well, but departments, you know, can't do anything until the officials give them the go-ahead.
That's not true.
Right.
They have authority to do no-bid contracts. And I'm not just saying that you are not telling the truth. I'm saying I sat there in the room, and they could have done something. It didn't have to be a lot, but certainly they could have done something. And
one of the points
I'd
like to make about the crossing study right now is, while you were sitting there with the president of the NACP and the prominent business person you're talking about, having this conversation with the mayor, the crossing study had been done in his desk.
Yes,
and
it was.
He sat there for 2 years. He did nothing.
That's right.
Well, I don't know the time frame at the point of the hurricane. Let me point out
that what we did at the NAACP, once we realized that the Croson study had been done, was there was a meeting that was convened, and this was because of President Bill Brager, president of the Urban League, Elnora Watson. Earl, you know that yourself, because
yes.
There were a few of us that got together and realized the public needed to know about the Crozon study. And at that point, we gave marching orders to the city to come out with us to the city hall, to the city council meeting, and ask that this study actually be voted on so that it could become a report and it could be enacted upon. And that happened. And this is why we are at the point where there was a panel set up. So let's realize the steps that were taken.
Yeah, well, what we're saying here is that the community did make some moves and forced this thing out into the open where we could see it because it had been sitting. The first time I heard of it, folks, was when the former president of the NAACP, Kabili Thayeri, came to a council meeting and asked the councilwoman, Diane Coleman, what happened to the Crozon study. This was about almost a year ago.
What Tina said, Earl, is we're going to acknowledge what did occur, however little, and talk about what can be done right now.
Yeah, well,
and we do know what can be
done. We should go in that direction.
I want to make this point, though, Nora. It's been sitting in this administration's hands for about a year. And the thing that bothers me about that is, we have such mammoth problems that you let years slip by, and that means the problem is a year worse than it was the year before. Something has to happen, very soon.
This is
with
Minister Webb.
The urging of the community now.
Yes, please do so.
There's a couple of points that jump out to me in regards to the conversation we're having about the Crozon study. One thing that jumped out at me was a comment made by Dr. Thompson, and Dr. Thompson spoke to the black community depending on others. I think that's one of the keys. At the NAACP breakfast, the primary speaker said that the black community generates over $1 trillion in revenues as a community. But those revenues that would make us the 16th richest country on the planet are not controlled or processed in a way where it benefits our own community. I think as to Dr. Thompson's point, depending on others, when we talk about the Crozon study, which is important and pertinent, the Crozon study, which has been in existence, the actions suggested have not been implemented. So we are speaking to a situation where we're not seeing a genuine commitment from the administration to implement the suggestions that would empower the black community and change our reality. And we all understand that real commitment creates real actions. And if they're not committed to real actions, contending with the extreme realities in our community and the immediacy of implementing actions that would change those realities, it puts into question, do they really have a commitment at all to change those conditions? So by all means, let's hold their feet to the fire. Part of the mission of the BITE is to work with public, private, and corporate agencies to strategize and implement real action to change the conditions so that we can be empowered economically. But we have to also look internally, which I think we all agree upon, work as a community, not individually, to generate institutions and entrepreneurial opportunities and employment opportunities within our own community. I got one last point. Now, most of us remember the 60s. Part of what changed the realities was a unified effort to empower us. So we have equitable rights. But also, we had implemented strategies in regards to nonviolent protests where there were consequences for the institutions when they denied our being included into the conditions that would change our reality. I think we don't have that kind of network where we have sit-ins, we have protests, we have ability to contend with the institutions and create consequence, because we know that decisions are usually made on some agency's or group's best interests.
Well, you know, Phil, to take up, to address that point, I was in a group, and you talk about the 60s, and we had to go to what we call political education courses, well, or classes, and that's really what they were, so that we could, if we're talking about the system, we know what we're talking about. And one of the things that one of the instructors put on the board that was very, very true, if you want a certain political consequence that's in your, to your benefit from people in power, you have to, if you want a certain political something to happen politically that would empower you, then you have to be able to also exert a political consequence. In other words, if you're dealing with the political system in terms of elected officials, their currency is not just money. They need that to campaign and to stay in office. But the other thing they need is votes. And they need a rather satisfied constituency and voting group of voters that won't make that kind of trouble. Because if you don't make that trouble, as Frederick Douglass said, you know, power never sees anything without demand. It never has and it never will. And I guess that's where we're going here, to say that to have the right meaning is to begin to exert some real pressure, some real demands on the administration or whomever we have to get some things done that needed to be done, what, 20, 30, 40 years ago? I agree with you. That's true. We may have to revisit some of the old tactics of the past and the present to make it happen, which may take a lot of strategizing. But I wanted to ask one other question of anybody in the group.
Carl, can I just make a comment here? And the comment
sure.
is as follows. You know, we feel as a community that our ability to work together in collaboration hasn't met the goals we really want to see. Our ability to bring together businesses, organizations, and so that it VITE becomes a clearinghouse for that, so that all businesses, all organizations, all individuals that are interested in the common goal, without denying your business, your organization that you work with, you can come here because we have a single purpose of helping, of being that clearinghouse. And because of that, we have so many businesses, so many individuals, and that work with us, and we're working on it as we have never been able to do as a community. This is now happening. So change is beginning to take effect, but more of us have to buy into it, that not only can we do better, but we must realize that this is the time. It's not for someone else. It's not wait and we will see what happens, but this is our life. And we should be taking full advantage of what we see. Because don't forget, many of us knew this was going on to the point that we finally had to have this study take place. But now this study gives us tangible evidence of what you always suspected. What you knew is true. Now,
but you didn't
what do
have
we do with it?
Do
we
yeah.
sit back and allow people to say, you know, soon, it'll happen soon. Well, don't worry, we'll see about you. No, we are part of the American dream, and it's up to us to come together and say, you know what, this is the problem, and these are the solutions. Not that we want to see implemented. No, this is what needs to be done, and it needs to be done now. Now, the only question is, how do we get it done, and how do we stay together as a unit working towards a common goal?
Well, let me ask this, Tina, and anybody there. As much as we talk tonight about the way that the African American community has been shortchanged, this report is a shamefully damning the city for what it hasn't done for all minorities. Hispanics and Asians, we're all in the same boat here. We're not getting anything. So I'm wondering if the group has, not right now, but in the future, or any the possibility of aligning itself with other minority groups to see if they could help, or they could also be a part of an effort to unlock the city's the potential of us being able to get some wealth and to get some things going so that we will be able to build our communities and grow the businesses down on King Drive and Ocean Avenue or wherever that we would like to see. Is there any thought given to that at this point, or am I a little premature with that?
Well, let me just say this before I have to sign off, because I have some work I have to complete tonight. One, I started saying I'm confident that we will have some information shortly, and I am not revealing what, because we want people to come out to the event that we're having Saturday, and information will be provided, substantive information. Yes, I would be willing to work with those who are truly interested, in trying to take forward not just an economic agenda, but also to analyze the Crotham report and come up with a plan, very much so.
Well, I'd like to point out that BITE already works with many other organizations. This has been one of the reasons that the team came into life. As a matter of fact, I'd like for Minister West to please point out the coalition that he has. We have many coalitions that sit at our table.
I'm going to have to sign off because I do have something I have to complete this evening. But there will be additional information at the forum, and Minister Webb has worked very hard to put some activities and information together that will benefit not just our young people, also our young adults.
Okay, thank you very much.
I look forward to seeing. Excuse me?
Thank you very much for being on tonight,
Eleanor. Oh, I'm always happy to be on. It just was coincidental. I had something I have to finish this evening.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Take care.
All right. Good night.
All right.
Good night. I might point out, as Eleanor leaves, when I talk about her being one of the largest employer minorities, I'm not saying African Americans. Everybody is down there in that office. People with burkas on and everything. I mean, it's an international employee base that she has down there. So it's not just about us. It's about everybody that's getting screwed, in this, according to this report. You were about to say something, I believe, Phil, about the what Eleanor talked about, the groups you've been working with, You were Tina had asked you about that, and you were mentioning one minister. I don't sounded like it was a Hispanic name, but I didn't catch it.
I came in as the president of the Jersey City Social Justice Commission, and that group's focus is to deal with the tension between the black community and the police department. And we came up with a training regimen. But to beyond that point, and to what Eleanor was talking about, for me, when I look at the Urban League and when I look at the black community, I understand my community to be the one that holds on to the American dream the most. Because when we had nothing else, we had our faith and we had the American dream. So when we look at an institution that is essentially based in the black community, but when we look at the application, we see that the Urban League is truly extending equal opportunity to all communities. As you pointed out, Brother Earl, you go in the Urban League, you see a multicultural staffing. But what I see in regards to other realities that I've experienced, if I go to other agencies like PACO, I see essentially Hispanic. If I go to a Filipino-American agency, I essentially see Filipinos. So, but the reality is that we open the door for other minorities to have opportunity, but frequently other minorities don't see solidarity with the black community. I think part of that is because we have yet to be other than fractured in regards to our approach to our reality. We have individuals and we have individual groups. I think what BITE is doing is saying we don't want to function as individual or individual groups. We have a common difficulty. Let's come together, function beyond personality, and function in regards to our commitment to community, which should be consistent, or it's not really commitment at all. Let's not deal with personalities. Let's deal with our extreme realities. Let's come up with strategies that create real action and real resolution to those problems.
Yes,
and
that's your point.
To piggyback on what Phil said about business manager conference, if we as a people develop a common denominator amongst ourselves, we will then be able to gravitate towards the Hispanic community who is working with their underserved, the Filipino community who's working with their underserved. But we first have to get ourselves together to let people know what is our priorities, what is the black agenda, what is, we can't say that. We don't have a group amongst our people that can sit there and set the agenda for the people at large. And so what BITE is doing is saying, folks, let's get together, regardless to what your economic status is, regardless of what your academic skills are, you are a people of a body of people that have pride, have dignity, have respect. Let's get together and let everybody know that we can work together for the common good. When we do that, then we become part of the patch quilt that we all then can come together, all the various different groups, to address what's going on with the minority body. But we as a body have not collectively done that. We're just scattered all over the place, and we're trying to get rid of that whole perception that we can't do anything collectively as a body.
Well, you know, I have a saying that I pilched from Malcolm X. That white people are like the wolf. They have to hunt in packs. Wolves hunt in packs because a wolf cannot bring down a buck deer, but a pack of wolves can. I'm not saying we're looking to bring anybody down that way, but the cooperation that pack generates gets them what they need to sustain them. And it's nothing new. Other ethnic groups in the city and across the country have done it this way. We used to do it this way. So I think it's almost a reification of some of the things we used to do all the time.
Exactly right.
It somehow
slipped
right out of our hands.
And remember, Earl, Glenn obtained his power when he was backed up by a coalition of men out of our community.
That's
then
exactly
he became
right.
The council president, and he moved on from that. You look at Fred Martin. He had a coalition of very astute people like Julian Robinson and Franklin Williams and all of these folks.
And don't forget Ray Brown.
And Janet Haynes and them. Until we become a coalition of ourselves and say we are going to come together for the sake of our community, our people, our city, and our town, we're not going anywhere. We are being picked off like little flies, picked off.
You know, one of the things I think people forget, and Phil mentioned PACO. PACO was born out of model cities. And the way that they came into existence was at the time Model Cities was on King Drive in the building which is now the new precinct. And it was all, everything was seemed to be focused on where the problem was, the black community. Well,
the Hispanic community in downtown Jersey City at that time, which was mostly Puerto Rican, they didn't see themselves getting anything. So they came up to the Paco headquarters one day with baby carriages and people, and they performed out there. They did exactly what Phil was talking about. And somebody said, we got to do something about this. And they lobbed off a bunch of money, and they came to the Puerto Ricans, and they created power. Listen, we're at the end of our show. So I want to thank all of you for being on. I look forward to seeing you Saturday at the Metropolitan AMD Zion Church on Belmont Avenue. I'm checking out the shop there. I say good night, and we'll see you next week. Kenya, I'll see you probably tomorrow.
Exactly.
Good night, everybody, and
we
thanks for being
we'll
on my show.
Next week, continue to tune in. Good night,
right. Good night, everyone.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. God bless.
Good night.